2025, review and discussion. Anybody have anything? Chief, do you have anything on?
On the board minutes? No, they're pretty, this pretty basic meeting. There wasn't anything exciting.
All right, looking for a motion to approve the board minutes.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Jamie?
Second.
Nancy, seconded. Roll call, please.
Okay, Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jamie Wright?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
All right, moving down to financials. Banking, has the Secretary Treasurer reviewed the banking reconciliations for last month and this month?
Yes.
All right, moving down to financials. I've already said that. QuickBook audit report. Did we ask for an audit report?
We got it.
We got it.
It was sent to everybody.
It was.
Is it on a particular account number?
I don't know the audit one.
No, we're talking a different audit.
Oh, okay, sorry.
This is the one that the treasurer.
Well, this is the one we're supposed to ask for.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, we were supposed to have more discussion on that, right?
Well, Kathy came in and gave us kind of the lowdown as to what that can, what audit trail could produce for you.
Yeah.
And.
She did that. We found out that we can't just pick an account number and do it. We can do, QuickBooks do its own little audit. That's pretty much what I got out of it.
And you've got access to QuickBooks and you could, you don't?
I've never tried.
Okay.
So she was going to check into authorization because we're all supposed to have that and we were supposed to have access and none of us, I don't have it.
We didn't get anything.
I don't even know how to even get into it.
I have to review the minutes to see if that's what it said, but.
Pretty sure it said that.
I know that Dan is the very least supposed to have QuickBook access. I'll shoot her an email in the morning and tag you guys all into it, see what she says.
So was it discussed, it was discussed, I think, if I remember correctly, and I don't know if it was captured in the minutes, was that we should, we could do that, pick a random one and we can look at it, but we don't have the access to it. Sound like we could pull our own reports.
Yeah.
Is that what we want to do or, because I didn't get a straight answer on that? Or do we want Kathy to pull the report and send it to Dan?
I think we want Kathy to pull it and send it to Dan because the staff is supposed to be out of it.
Yeah.
Correct.
And so if I were to give any advice, I would just have Dan get ahold of Kathy again and try to talk one-on-one as to what might be, what we're doing that would meet what those auditors back in July thought was a good practice that we carry out.
Because in the policy, it states that.
Yeah.
The Secretary Treasurer.
Yeah. And if what we wrote in the policy can't be done, change the policy.
Got it.
Right, so if you'll reach out to Kathy directly, I'll reach out to her via email to get access, QuickBook access, make sure that you guys have access to it. She'll send.
I think we have access, but nobody knew how to get into it.
It seemed like we did get access a long time ago, but I never did.
Okay.
She tried to show us, but.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that maybe we just have to kind of come in and I can.
Take a class.
Exactly, take a class.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Same keeps turning on me.
So the monthly financial report, we're 75% into the budget year. You can see on page one there, we've collected up 100.1 or 0.9%. So our general fund resources, we're at 118%. Anything that's over 75% on here is suspicious, I guess. So on page three, meals, programs, and events, that's because of the awards banquet. There's a resolution tonight that you'll approve that'll bring that number back down to within the correct amount. Medical costs, so those are for career staff coming in, we're at 107%. What we haven't been doing is Krista submits that and gets a refund back from our insurance company. We just kind of been throwing that in the pot. We haven't resolutioned every one of those back into this line item. But it is getting more paid for than it's reflected in that. On page five, the HRA VIVA, since that's been dispersed out for the rest of the year, that's why that one's at 95%. Further down, dues and subscriptions, a lot of those are annual payments that those have been made, that's why that one's at 88%. Building maintenance overall, we're still right there at the amount, but this station here is taking a beating this year, and I think that was mainly because of the door locks that we replaced. I'm kind of surprised that.
Keith, are we roofing Otis this year, or is it?
No, that will be next year's budget.
Next year's budget.
Yeah.
So how long is that bid here to get for?
Well, I talked to the guy, and he says if he has to revise it, he'll revise it. But they said they're gonna. He says we're gonna honor what we had, but then when it comes down to it, if we have a different salesman, you never know.
Who is that with?
Pfeiffer Roofing, and then Bob's getting two more bids also, so we don't have all the bids in for that, but we're kind of leaning into Pfeiffer just because of the warranty and the kind of work that they do. On page nine, apparatus fuel, 76%, but I guess page 11, the overall public safety expenditures were at 62.7% at 75% of the year, so we're doing okay. Any questions on any specific?
How come our iCounty Pro is different for every station?
Depends on, so it's alarm monitoring, right? And so like this station here has more monitoring, has an elevator that gets monitored. The only elevator in the district that gets monitored. So are you specifically looking at page 7 there or just the overall?
I'm on page 13.
Yes, my page 13 is different than your page 13.
Oh, it's further back. And little teeny things, like there's 19 pages. Let's say like 13 of 19.
So are you just... So we had a bunch of payments to Econa Pro. Where are you looking at? Alarm monitoring?
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, it got bill. I couldn't tell you why that one's $114.
McElkeshin Lakes 144, and DeLake is 91, and Kernville's 59, Otis is 89.
There's two charges for station 14, I believe.
They're broken down into two separate.
I also believe that every one of those is doubled up, so we missed a month of payments and it got doubled up. Is that right?
I think that's what happened.
Okay.
Because this is a 3 month back.
Right.
And then you only see two payments on there, mm-hmm. So one of them was, so they were doubled up. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Now they're good. So yeah, if you take every one of those and you times it by two, it's about.
Further discussion? Looking for a motion to approve the financial report.
So moved.
Well, a second.
Second.
Is that Dan and Jamie?
Uh-huh. Roll call, please.
Okay. We have Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jamie Wright.
Yes.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
Okay. Down to budget, review materials for budget meeting scheduled for 4/16/2025 at 3:30.
Alex, at 3:30?
Oh, it's at 4.
So did I.
We moved it to 3:30?
That's what was on the paper that I had, was 3:30.
I think that's what go-to meeting. I started it at 3:30.
Let's make sure that people know that.
The go-to meeting starts at 3:30. So you can log in, but the budget meeting, if you look at the budget calendar.
It says 3:30.
Does it say on the calendar? Or you just gonna?
The calendar says something there?
I don't have a copy of it in front of me.
3:30?
So what you're looking at here on the bottom, that's the go-to meeting, what time I open the meeting on go-to meetings. So it's available for access at 3:30. It's at 4 o'clock, it's the usual time.
It is at 4, correct?
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
So produce this, although it'll be distributed to all the budget committee members. I thought I'd put this out as soon as I got it finished for you guys, so you can take a good look at it and have any questions that they might have, share it around. It's also posted out on our website.
And there's a copy on the front counter as well.
Yep, so it's where everybody can take a look at it. I think the biggest thing, obviously, the biggest expense out here is gonna be the ladder truck that's gonna come out of next year. And then a lot of that money comes from, if you look at the revenue source, so our beginning fund balance is $6,500,000, which last year, I mean, it's about $2 million more than last year, even though we've been transparent every time it comes out on our financials. When I started the year, I started it out at that money to kind of show that. Kathy and I have a running bet to see what it will actually be. I'm sticking with the 6.5. Hers is $6,736,904. She put an actual sheet together. So I don't know how she can get that accurate, but she did. She's got all the numbers here.
CPA, come on.
I know. And just another note is she is retiring.
Okay.
But a condition on her retirement is that she has to come back and work part-time for Brian and do fire departments only.
Does Dorothy still wanna be?
Yes, Dorothy's gonna be her replacement for the most part. Anyway, I just brought this out. It's not really a discussion item, other than if you see anything in here, you can get a good head start. And then we'll make sure that all the budget committee members.
I've already informed them that their packets are ready to pick up.
Come pick them up, yeah.
Mr. Warner would like one.
And I emailed it to them as well.
Okay.
Nice to get it early. It's really early this year.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Friday, but this was easy to do. And if we have one, we could give Nancy so she could.
Awesome, great one.
Off to Jerry. That would be great, since Jerry's, it's kind of a shoe-in, I guess, running unopposed. That's all I got.
Okay, thank you, Chief. New business, item one, resolution 2025-04, appropriate reimbursement money. And that's what the chief talked about, and I'm sure everybody reviewed it, right, correct? Everybody have a chance to read it, Dan?
Yes.
Okay. All right, any review or discussion on that resolution? All right, looking for a motion to approve.
Make a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jamie Wright?
Yes.
Dan Creighton?
Yes.
Okay, and I have the resolution right here to sign, so that was me and Dan. Real quick. Pass that to Dan, please.
All budget.
All right, item number two, fire chief contract. Any review or discussion on the fire chief contract renewal? That we haven't already talked about in executive session. for a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jamie Wright?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Okay. Item number three, review policy 7.3, fire protection records.
I want to toss this over to Cody. These were both his policies that he put together, both 7.3 and 7.4, so he can explain those way better than I can.
So policy 7.3 is a revision to the policy that we already had. And the reason for it is we're switching our third-party reporting company from Bricer to iRoll. So that just references those changes and then some of the systems that we're changing that we'll be tracking with there. iRoll's beneficial to us because we have our own person who will review those reports, so I don't have to. The person we have used to be a fire marshal, fire chief out of Washington, been in the fire service for 30-plus years, retired, and does this on the side, probably making pretty good money doing it. So he reviews that. It also counts for another person on our ISO stuff, so we can count him as a inspector, if you will, too.
Okay.
Does that cost? We have to pay for that?
We don't pay for it, no. They charge the service companies, it's like $25 a report.
Okay.
And then the benefit, they're a little more expensive than Bricer, but the benefit is when they submit a report, let's say someone has a report, something's wrong, they get it fixed, they have to submit another report, they don't charge them for that second report, so.
Thank you, Cody. Any further discussion on policy 7.3? Looking for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Dan and Nancy. Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jamie Wright?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Okay. Item number four, review policy 7.4, temporary shelters. That was an interesting read.
Did you like that? I'm not gonna lie, I didn't really write it. I just took the verbiage out of what the state already had and made a few changes to it. So, like I said, this is comes from a state document, joint policy bulletin between building department and fire marshal's office. All of this stuff is stuff we would require anyways. The only differences in there that we as the district, or at least I feel, is the 60 days. The state says 90 days. I feel 90 days is too long for these. In that 12-month period, 60 days just kind of fits a little better for a lot of the other things we do. And the other thing is requirement of the sprinkler and fire alarm systems. We're putting people into buildings that are not designed to have people sleeping in, right? And oftentimes they're a vulnerable population as it is. So by requiring the sprinkler system, the fire alarm system, we're hopefully reducing the risk and liability with that a little bit. Everything else is, like I said, is something that's already required at the state level, so.
What kind of buildings are these? I mean, is it anywhere from like just a little tiny one to?
Yeah, it could be. So the two right now that we have kind of those agreements with is the Lutheran Church, their activities building.
Okay.
And Taft 712.
So this isn't like little huts or anything?
It could be. It very well could be a bunch of tough sheds that are set up. So,
okay.
I mean, not that I probably would allow, I mean, obviously we're not gonna put a sprinkler system in that. We wouldn't allow that.
Okay.
We've not had that here. where people are coming for it, usually it's bigger buildings that are being converted.
Outdated.
Yeah.
Like that Wildwood.
The one thing that's important to remember about this is temporary shelters, not emergency shelters.
Yes.
Completely different animals.
Yep.
An emergency shelter is something bad happened, the fire blew down the hill and ate up a bunch of houses and we have to put people someplace. That's an emergency shelter. If you're putting somebody in out of the rain because they're homeless, that's not an emergency. We know the rain's coming, we know the temperature occurs and goes down every year. It's predictable. That's not an emergency.
Yeah.
Now, just because the county wants to call it an emergency shelter does not make it an emergency shelter.
Agreed.
So, all of this would be subject, obviously, to review by myself. The other things that we would, are a little change, but not really, is that we would require written approval from the building official and planning department to make sure it works for zoning and all that stuff. Other than that, you know, there are, we did kind of leave a little wiggle room in there, whether it be myself or chief, you know, if something's just not working out, we have, do have the right to deny it. And that could be for, you know, a variety of things, but typically we would just follow this policy. And the other thing gives us is we can hand this and say, these are the requirements. This is what you must have to get.
Yeah, if we approve it and something happens.
Yep.
All right, any further discussion? Okay, looking for a motion to approve policy 7.4, temporary shelters.
Make a motion to approve.
How about a second?
Second.
Is that Jamie?
Okay, roll call please.
Okay, Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jamie Wright?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Okay, moving down to item 5, review the 2023-2024 audit.
So I was able to squeeze this out of Polly Rogers real, you know, they had an extension till the end of March. And so the end of March came and was quickly gone, but she was able to produce this last Friday. She says it's still at the management review over there. It's gone through compliance and now Mr. Rogers has to approve it himself. And so once that's done, we'll immediately get notified and have to send the state the $250. But this is, she essentially said, this is a done deal. This is what it's going to be. So we produce that. And then again, we'll, in the responses that we have to send back to the state for any deficiencies. And we've already, at the end of the meeting with them, we had those discussions that, you know, the buildings we can't value because of when they were built and those kinds of things are still difficult, but everything else is pretty much in line. Kathy's reviewed this also. She had, before it came out last Friday, when we saw it on Monday, she had a couple more little dollar things in there that she felt weren't in the right columns. Although the total numbers, at the end of them were correct, they just weren't itemized correctly. So she sent back with them and they approved that stuff too. So Kathy's reviewed this also and has no issues with it. But this is just their general, for your general information.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. Thanks, Chief. All right. Local 5169 report.
Did not get a written report.
Okay. Community staff reports.
So you have the safety committee meeting minutes there. We have the district safety officer here if you have any questions for him. Nothing for Cody. And then, so the next thing is Cody's report, Fire Marshal's report. Do you have any questions for him over that? Moving right along. Chief Bickerdike's report.
So, first of all, I gotta apologize, it's actually March training hours, right at the top of the report, but 748, we had a couple of nice sized classes, PALS and PHTLS that just happened and things like that, that really contributed to a whole lot of training last, last month. You can see the crew training assignments there, you can see what the crew performance standard was in our Monday night drills. The one drill that I'd like to draw your attention to was we had DPSST come down on the 31st of the month and do car fires with us. That is a propane fired prop, it's a live fire night for everybody. And a lot of great instruction happened, a lot of good opportunities for people to actually get in there and practice attacking a car fire. I've attached a couple of pictures at the end of my report there if you guys want to see what it looked like.
Yeah, I was gonna say thank you for attaching the pictures.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. You can see the meetings and significant events there. So March was the month of structure fires evidently for us. We had several of them. We had apartment fire at the Ridge there. We had the structure fire on Southeast Anchor. We had a what got called in as a commercial fire at the Palace Inn and Suites that ended up being a lithium battery pack that exploded, for lack of a better descriptive term.
What happened?
And then we had the structure fire at 6310 North Highway 101, what we used to call Cherry Hill. I don't recall what it's called at this point.
Fir Crest.
So. You see the projects that I'm working on there, the training tower. Just had another meeting with dispatch. Relationship with dispatch is going really well. They're doing a fantastic job for us as far as I'm concerned. There's a couple of little things here and there that we just go talk about and sort it out and get it all fixed up. I make a list of just things as they happen. And I go in person because sometimes digital communication doesn't carry the same sentiment, right? Sometimes.
Do you have like a scheduled meeting that you meet with them so ever so often, even if you don't have anything?
Just I try and get in there about once a week. Yep. Okay. Yep. Usually I try and get in there on Mondays whenever possible. Yep. So, okay. Yep. It's working out really well.
Good.
And then Chief Height and I have been working with Taft High School, and we are committing to being EMS standby for more of their sporting events. So those plans are well in process. Actually, the crews have already started to attend some of the events, and we're going to be more readily available for the Taft High School students. We're trying to foster a little bit more of a partnership with Taft High, and this is basically the first step in that. So we've got a lot of good ideas on going forward. So, yeah, that's what I got.
I didn't see any cat rescues.
No cat rescues.
Nothing on, and you have three cat rescues. I never saw anything on Facebook about your cat rescues.
The apartment fire, there were three cats that were pulled out of the apartment. Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, they were not like separate events.
I thought they were like up in a tree.
No, they were inside the third floor of the apartment. And
very angry.
they were quite angry, yes. So, yeah.
Scratches.
Our crew and Depot Bay Fire went in and did search and rescue for the cats and pulled them out and got them out of the structure.
I'm kind of glad I'm not going to fire.
I was there when you got one out, but
out the window.
The one wouldn't want. He didn't want to come out the window for nothing. We tried to get him out the window, and he kept running back into the smoke, and then.
It was so angry, it damaged turnouts that have to be sent in to be fixed.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's anger.
Yeah.
It was not happy. I'll tell you that right now.
Next time you do that, cover them with a towel or something, and then...
Not an option we had.
Scruff of the neck.
Good effort, man. Good effort.
Anything on the high school or cadet program type thing? Have we worked closer on that, or...?
We are getting closer with regards to Chief's been working on making sure that the legal side of it's all taken care of, and then that was part of the discussion that we had with the athletic director, as he also thought that, you know, in fostering a partnership with Taft High, that it could lead more towards more high school students getting involved with us and things like that. So it's working in that direction. So.
Yep.
The Water Rescue doing something this weekend?
Water Rescue is doing something this weekend, yeah, they're landing a Coast Guard helicopter up at the Mesa, so, yeah.
Should be cool to check out.
Chief's report.
Yes, sir. Ambulance stuff, seven transports, one in our facility, we're getting closer to our amount that I budgeted for the year of 50,000, we're at 29, and we seem to be getting, we got about 8,000 in last month, which was good. You can see notable monies that were received, next month, the short-term rental inspection, you'll see a significant jump in that, because we're at that quarter where everybody comes in and pays a lot. Fire incidents, like they were just talked about, so at the Ridge Apartments, there were five families displaced, and Red Cross helped them out. There was that abandoned house on Southwest Anchor, we had a meeting with the city here last week about the unsafe area that it is. So the city, at their expense, and I don't know how far it's got, but we went to the city attorney with a letter expressing the safety issues, and the fact that that chimney is standing three stories tall. He was gonna get a warrant signed by the judge and then be able to put fencing around that, bring a track hoe in, knock that chimney down so that we could go, or so that they could go in and then do a hazardous material, an asbestos abatement, and then package everything up and haul it off.
Is the property owner not cooperating?
So the property owner says that he doesn't own it, but the city says he does own it.
Yeah.
So the one thing that the city attorney was doing was going to have the title company do a property search to see who has title to that, to make sure that that was all done prior to him going to the judge. That was a pretty quick thing. He was just gonna go to Western Title and have them do that. As I got a phone call at whatever time he called me, 4 or 5 in the morning, and said, hey, we can't get in there safely. I said, let it go to the ground. Don't even get close to that thing. There, you can read NIOSH reports from the last 30, 40 years at least, where chimneys have fallen on firefighters because they just have structural, they go down.
So the rumor was that there was homeless people going in and out of living.
Oh, I'm sure it was. As Craig Ravenhorst said, they've been working on that place for 15 years to try and get stuff done. Now, while the fire was burning, neighbors were driving by, all happy that it burned to the ground. Then it's all done burning, and now they want it. Well, are you going to clean it up? Wait a minute.
Not us.
Not us. Yeah, we're not. But anyway, the meeting went pretty well with those guys. The city's taking on that responsibility to do that. We can't go back on the property and do any investigation, although there's probably nothing to investigate, unless we have a signed release from the property owner. Well, the property owner says he's not the owner, so. Now, if they do start pulling things apart and find that there was a homeless guy in there and he's, you know, dead, buried under the debris, that's law enforcement. It's not us. So, so that abandoned house, they talked about the NICAD battery fire. Those things are becoming way more prevalent. Not only this, but the garbage truck that was out in Otis had one catch fire in the back. And so our crews escorted them up to the transfer station. They dumped the stuff out and found the batteries in there that it caused the smoking. They hadn't actually caught fire, but it smoked up pretty good. They're a constant problem, as we can see. If you look at what happened down in Los Angeles and how they're dealing with all those vehicles that are battery powered and what has to happen now, it's a big mess. So
Vaughn French didn't even know what he was gonna do to dispose of those expended batteries. He was very frustrated because he didn't have a resource.
Of batteries, like tool batteries, or were
this
just
was
like
it was this
a,
like a power pack of
power pack of some type. It probably had 30 to 50 different lithium ion cells, not different, 30 to 50 lithium ion cells that were all fused together in a pack. And you know, I mean, it probably has a little handle on it. It looked like a lunchbox, something like that. It was probably something along those lines.
Wow. Probably very similar to what exploded in the hotel.
About half of it went through its thermal runaway process. The other half, for whatever reason, did not, thank goodness. And as Chief said, it's going to be a huge problem going forward.
Well, it's
They take batteries at the, they take the batteries now at the garbage, yeah. All kinds of batteries.
That's the same with EV cars, although they're gonna have the same issues as it goes farther down the road.
I watched it was actually on 60 Minutes, and they talked about LA and how they're taking care of those, and it takes them, they find a Tesla, and they go in and they cut the roof off, they flip the car open, peel the battery pack open, and then take out all the cells. And then what do they do with them? Well, they package them in 55-gallon drums, seal them up, and take them to Nevada, because there's no place in California that will accept them, and they dump them in the landfill. Now, if they're burned up and destroyed, they take them and lay them out on a big metal thing and take a steamroller and go back and forth over them and smash them down to nothing, put them in a different 55-gallon drum, and take them off someplace else to be. So it's just a mess.
Scary.
It is.
Take them to the Tesla.
They burned down houses, they did Lenny Beach, they were in a carport, they had a charging and a ton of fire. You guys went to that, didn't you?
Not so much.
That burned hard.
I know, that's what Chad figured out was the problem.
The walls are the big ones, actually, that have battery failures.
The fire on 48th.
The fire on 48th Street was an electric lawnmower that he had used, and then he put the batteries in a shed in the backyard to recharge. His problem was the batteries weren't factory batteries for that piece of equipment.
Oh, no.
He went on Amazon and bought $19.99 batteries to use, and so he burned his house down for $19.99 by not spending the $50 for the battery that was rated for that piece of equipment.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Ron Smith, who investigated our ladder truck fire, was the investigator down there. He sees this all the time. He said they did a study in which they had the insurance guy who didn't want to pay. They said, go on Amazon and order three of those batteries. They ordered three different batteries. Each one of them came, it was different. Even one was even colored different, that they ordered three from the same site. And then they opened them up and saw how poorly they were made. And the insurance guy says, we're paying the claim, sorry. So it's a huge problem. So. And then Cherry here, we Cherry Hill or Faircrest now, they displaced one family there. Building and equipment maintenance. So Bob's been working on finishing up interior. He's started working with some landscaping stuff. You'll see right outside here, there's a lot of river rock that went in and the stuff pulled away there. It looks better. Plus also, if we're out telling people you should have, you know, your property hardened against fires, well, look what we're doing here, the same thing. So those are good things, and one firefighter in particular, Jonathan Layton, kind of took that on himself. And then Dave told you about the work on the training tower. Bo's been working pretty hard on the Humvees. In fact, he even came in today, so now we've got different battery chargers on all the Humvees, because they were finding that the batteries were going bad. People were leaving switches on, so we're trying to mitigate that problem. And so now he's got battery chargers, 24-volt battery chargers in each one, and he's got an app on his phone. Apparently, he can look and see that they're charging. So, kind of good with that. We got the final jet ski into operations, and then this Monday, we put the 2012 jet ski on GovDeals as surplus. Annexations. So of the 11 properties up in Rhodes Inn, the fire district successfully annexed 9 under Senate Bill 1068. Our attorney said we are the first fire district in the state of Oregon to have any annexation under that Senate bill. And so because of that, I get like fire chiefs calling me, well, how'd you do it? So anyway.
Thank you for doing that. I know how much work that was.
And that's just the 9 that are up there. We have another 10 up Highway 229 that are next on the list. We have one over on East Devils Lake Road because it's right there at 1726 in kind of a V as it goes up there, and that guy wants to be in the district. So we will be working on those. But it's good that we got them in the district. You also got to realize that's in the urban renewal district, so that base 67 cents a thousand, 100% of that goes to the city. We don't see anything. What we do see is bond and levy money out of it. So we'll see something. But That's just the way the rules are written. Alarm responses, you can see there's a page in there, so exactly the same amount of alarms March this year as we did March of last year. And then so we're up, we're still an increase of 5% over year to year. Talked about the financial audit. We did have an OSHA visit, and Cody, you got part of that report done?
I got both the reports as of Monday, so.
Anything you want to say on that? Because mine's just.
We're not in that bad of shape. They were pretty happy. There was, I think there was three serious violations, if you will. One of them had to do with the safety committee. One had to do with some holes around the standpipe in the training tower being too large. He's worried someone could put their foot in there and break their ankle. And I can't remember what the third one was. We've started to take, spray balls was not the serious one. We've already started taking steps to remedy all of those. And I will try, I'll get the reports to Chief, and if you want to send them out to everybody or
do. I think that all the board members should see the reports, and at least the captain see the reports too, so they can, when they're out doing things and see stuff, it's like, oh, this is a, you know, we can't just let this go, guys. We have to fix this stuff.
So what was the safety committee?
Have to have meetings every month.
We have to have meetings every month. We have to expand. So we're too top heavy, if you will, at our, who's on our safety committee. They want
firefighters.
Yeah. So we are expanding that, and we also have to have a person per division, if you will. So we need someone from maintenance. We need someone from water rescue. We need a firefighter from volunteers. We need a firefighter from the career staff. So we're working on that. Other than the meeting monthly, it's not going to change too much of what we were already doing. So.
Personnel hiring, we have five volunteers in the first year of training now. So we have 18 active volunteer firefighters. We had another one drop due to inactivity. We have four pending volunteer applications, and then another one that's going through background. And Dave and I actually had a conversation about this. Two guys came in here together, handed applications in together. We've got another guy that's running. So we get enough of these, I think, we'll have enough that we want to do a couple of weekend classes and get some things kicked further down faster so we can get these guys on board. Anyway, we've had a good little rush here.
What kind of ages are you seeing in the 20s here?
The two that came in were 20 and 21 respectively, and then I've got another one that I believe he's in his 30s. And then I've got another one that I haven't seen yet. I've just got the application for him, so I don't know.
Two of the full-time employees are still on probation. Dalton Periani just got off probation. Ladder truck purchase, we're right on time with that. I've sent the draft contract back to Hughes Fire that mirrors the contract that we did 3 years ago. That our attorney says, no, you need to use this one. I think I showed guys a couple of the email from our attorney about how we're right on top of that. We published the notice that we're required to do the cooperative purchase notice. It's in the newspaper now. And they have until the end of next week to make any complaints to that. And then after that, we can sign the contract. So as soon as we get something back from Pierce, we finish our 2 weeks notice. Then the board president will sign that contract as you guys approved before. Station 16 damage, so you know the door came down on the engine as it was leaving. We're at about $4,500 in repairs. Our deductible is $25,000. So rather than risk increasing our insurance rates anymore, we're just going to eat that $2,000 and get that fixed. So the door panels aren't here yet. They're back ordered again through garage door sales to get that stuff done. The engine is scheduled to get over to the body repair place and have the top repainted that was all scraped up like that. It was just enough that we needed to get it repainted and rather than messing around with it. So Cody and I went up and met with the new casino, or not the new, the casino's new general manager, Samantha McDonald's her name. Pretty good half hour discussion with them. That same day we got our $75,000 check from them that we annually get. Didn't increase over last year. I kind of gave her, you know, the first obstacle always is we're not with the city, we're separate. So we have to get that across. And once they realize that, then we talked about the agreement that we were trying to get in writing and the obstacles that Harold Bagus had with the tribe not wanting to sign that agreement. They wrote the agreement, came back to us, we sent it to our attorneys, changed a couple little things on it, went back to them, and then they decided they didn't want to sign it. So as our attorney says, you guys are lucky you're getting money. If they decided not to pay you, you would still have to provide protection up there. You don't get a yes or no out of the deal. You have to do it. They're another government agency, just like the city of Lincoln City, the federal government, post office, churches, schools, you still have to go. So be thankful you're getting something. Don't push it. Okay. So we also talked about upcoming events that are going to be up there. And so their fireworks display that Cody's got, he approved the permits for that one. That's the week before. We'll have the UTV down on the beach. We'll try and get an engine, a volunteer engine, up in the area by Road's End so that those guys kind of tempers them down a little bit. And then the following weekend is the 4th of July weekend. They're having the rodeo behind the casino there. Yeah, so it's going to be 3 days of, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So again, the 4th being on Friday, they'll have that up there. We're going to get in there hopefully prior to that and have some discussions along with the police department about emergency accesses and things like that that we might need to have.
Are we going to have EMS or anything?
They have not asked for any of that.
You were gone, sorry, I didn't tell you this yet. No, they have not asked for EMS. They did ask if we could help provide a tender to help water down the arena. I said we could probably do that. So they're going to contact me, and I think we can get an in with the fair board to make sure we get access and stuff that way.
And so,
probably not.
So did the casino ask, or did the fair?
The fair board. Okay.
And so we didn't know the contract hadn't even been signed. So is the fair renting the space, and then that would give us access into that because, you know, we can have some say over it if they weren't renting the space and the casino or the tribe was just letting them come in there and do that. I think that still falls within their sovereign land, and they would tell us to go pack sand if we made any suggestions. So that would be pretty busy. So then that's the third, fourth, fifth. So the fireworks down 51st Street, or not the fireworks, the drone show
drone
this year.
Drone show, 15-minute drone show.
Wow.
$75,000.
And if it gets windy or anything, they're not going to do it.
I want to be the guy, never mind, that says recorded meeting. And then on the fifth is, did you get the barge out on the lake?
It has not been approved yet.
So he hasn't showed up with his insurance certificate yet. He has applied for the barge out on the lake on the 5th, so on Saturday night. So anyway, and then the next weekend at the casino is their bacon, brews, barbecue thing going on. So kind of busy throughout that time. But we're going to hire back a little bit, especially because, you know, again, when we talked to the casino, we just said, hey, I know you give us this money. Here's what we're going to do. And so we'll hire back a few folks for their fireworks display, making sure we get people down on the beach and that kind of stuff. ISO, again, we have that discussion coming up. When we talk to the city about, and so down under the, for information, when we talk to the city about the abandoned house that burned, we also had a short discussion on who owns the beach at 51st Street. Apparently they're still talking with, it's kind of been Jeannie Sprague is the one that's handling that. They now believe that the beach belongs to them. However, Oregon Parks and Recreation believes the driftwood belongs to OPRD. So our big issue is with the driftwood. I told them at the meeting that we're going to come up with a plan before this summer on how we're handling beach fires down there, because they just, there's too many that we deal with. And so we'll put some limitations on when we go, how we go, why we go, but we will have those conversations with the city before we make those hard, fast rules. You know, we're talking about, you know, if somebody has an abandoned beach fire and it's just a small fire, if somebody, we get calls because, well, we don't like the smoke and there's people on the beach. Well, we're not going if there's people sitting around the beach fire, okay? Just because the motel resident doesn't like the smoke that's going in their room is not our problem. We're not gonna tell them to put the fire out. Now, if they walk away and abandon the beach fire, if it's away from stuff that can get in the beach grass or get bigger, then we're gonna leave it alone. In fact, I would encourage them to put more wood on it when they left to burn some of that wood up. We'll put a limitation on size. So we'll go down there and put it out if it's, let's say, bigger than a car, right? But my question has been back to the city, like when we had our joint meeting with them, what is your vision for 51st Street? Do you want a clean area, family friendly? Because right now it's trashed with driftwood.
Sure.
Yeah, we can't get down there to launch our equipment if we need to. So, just told him that. It was kind of discussion with the city manager, who in 2 months doesn't care now. So, the way that goes. So we talked about July 4th. EFG grant for turnouts is still out there. We did apply this year for the Wildland Firefighter Upstaffing Grant of $35,000. That was also part of the conversation with the city. It says we can't keep running down here on these beach fires because, you know, last 3 years we've gotten grant money from the state of Oregon. If we don't get it this year because the state is putting them out, but last year 191 departments got it. This year it's $1 million less. Are we going to be, where's our cutoff? Are we going to get the money or not? I know we briefly had a conversation as to, can we afford to hire some folks back for that summertime? We probably can. So that'll be in next budget year. It's in the budget, but it also is kind of dependent upon whether we get that grant money. If you guys as policymakers say, you know what, we want to hire those folks back, we have the money in the budget, it's already in the budget, do it. So we'll have that discussion in a couple of months. The Volunteer Association purchased 2 rescue boards and another Lucas device. So in one meeting, they spent over $23,000. I think they need recognition for that. Mm-hmm. So purchasing another Lucas CPR device was big, and it went on the other paid engine down south. So that was $21,000 in and of itself.
So we have one for each engine?
Yep, one for each engine. The air compressor out here was fixed to the tune of $4,000. The CO monitor needed to be repaired. We were awarded the 50-50 matching disaster preparedness grant from the county. We're not gonna see the money for a couple of months because right now it's in county legal for their attorney to approve, and then they'll send us the agreement before we can sign it. But we were notified that we were selected to get the grant. And then our special districts grant, that's all closed out. So the exterior lighting and the cameras and recording system upgrades were finished up. That's all I have. If you have any questions.
Whatever happened with the federal government giving money to the county for firefighting, remember, on BLM land
So that was called the Payment in Lieu of Taxes program that they have. And so what I received from the county administrator was a letter saying that that money is used for the county trapper program. And none of it goes anyplace else but to the trapper program. So that's not my fight with them. I was tasked by Scott Stanton of Umatilla Fire to say, hey, he went to a whole bunch of fire chiefs and said, you know, you guys are getting this money. They're not giving us any. Are they giving you any? Let us know what they're doing.
What are they calling trapper, that it's going to trapper?
The guy goes out and traps.
Yeah, there's a county trapper that goes. Got coyotes that are killing your cattle or cats or whatever, they will send them out. Well, they're nocturnal. And so if they send the county trapper out, he investigates it, sets his traps, and checks them out. They give him the
meeting.
So, how much money was it?
$94,000 a year is what we're, so it kind of goes up.
Okay.
They, so I got the information, I forwarded on to the group. And so that's really all I was tasked with doing from Scott. So Scott's getting all that information together. He is going to compile, where does it go, what does it do? And he's gonna go to our federal legislators, to the senators, and to the Congress and say, look, the federal government gives the state of Oregon this much money. It says right on your website for fire protection, for search and rescue, and all the counties are using it for other stuff. Where do you want this money to go? Because it's not going to where you intended it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, we'll just call him Doge for a minute or two. He's gonna figure it out. So that's where that is.
Okay.
It's not our fight. I'm not gonna fight the county on it. I'm gonna let Scott do that on a federal level.
Can you click on so we can see who else is in the meeting?
Yeah.
Please, thank you.
All right, has anybody got anything to give to the orders? I have one thing, Saturday the 26th is open house here.
Thank you.
I don't know if you wanted to talk a little bit about it, what's going to transpire or what time?
Yeah, so it's going to take on April 26th and it's from 10 to 1. And my shift has been pretty much kind of taking the lead on getting booths figured out for it, figuring out what we want to really publicize, what we want to, what other organizations do we want to work with. We have LCCD coming, we have Pacific West Ambulance coming, Northwest Natural is coming and being able to provide food for us, which is going to make it really great. I've talked with the church next door. They're going to be able to let us use their parking lot for the event. They have no issues with that. So everything's kind of coming together and we're trying to make it to where people are actually going to visit each booth, have things for kids, have things for adults, talking about defensible space, talking about smoke alarms. We're really focusing on doing pub ed during this event as well, really push the fire department.
Awesome. Thank you.
It's Friday before that?
The 26th from 10 to 1.
Community days, beach bonfire, hot dogs, that's up at Moe's.
Correct.
Okay.
And I think the fire department's going to go down for this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I have that.
The bonfire.
Yes.
Schedule. Okay.
You'll also see in your mailboxes, residents, our newsletter, our annual newsletter is coming out this, should be out tomorrow, next day? What'd they say?
We could start seeing it as early as tomorrow, but probably by no later than about the 18th.
Yeah, sure. You get a lot of them if you go to the recycling bin at the post office, they seem to stack up in there.
Do you want those back so you can mail them?
Figure out where they went to go
and bring them back.
If anybody didn't have anything else, I call for public comment from anybody, anybody online. Okay. Look for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Awesome.
Dan?
I'll second.
Nancy, second. Roll call, please.
So Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Derek Creighton?
Yes.
Jamie Wright?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.